All right, good evening. All right, I do appreciate the church family here, and truly just grateful for the support and the just the outpour of love from everyone. And I guess I will kind of start back a little bit in case nobody's kind of gotten the full report what we're doing. Me and my wife, we grew up here at this church, and we both surrendered to missions before we were married. And even in my teen years, the Lord was working my heart towards missions, specifically here in Alaska. And I took any opportunity I could to go with different groups and whatnot to do any type of building, anything we could do. I believe the first trip I really made was in 2006. We went to, there were several men. I remember Brother Perry Abrams flew us out to Unicleet. We built the church addition where I'm now going to fill in. And that was back in 2006. And even then, the Lord was using that to stir my heart towards, I believe, missions here in Alaska. And the burden has definitely intensified since that time. And we truly believe the Lord is leading us in that direction. And again, this church has been a great support, a great, just really a place to grow and to learn. And we went through the Bible college here, and the Lord just showed me a lot of things. And then even just these past few years with Pastor McGovern, his teaching and things the Lord has showed me even more, and just gave me a desire, has given me a desire for the for sharing the truth. And I'm looking forward to being able to do that this winter. We are going to be filling in for Brother Pat McCoy in Unicleet. Many of you guys know who that is. We support them. They've been out there for, I believe, 13 plus years, if I remember right. And they have a church established there. And they had to go out to raise some funds and visit churches. And they asked us if we could fill in for a period of time. And they would have loved to have had us out there longer. We could only go for a certain amount of time because we told Israel Warren we're going to be at filling in for him in March through May. So it soon became, it went from 1 month filling in for Brother Israel Warren to about 5 months. So we soon realized that we were going to need to raise some support to do this. And so I talked to Pastor back here, I believe in September, about raising some money to do this winter. And so we did that. We visited about seven churches here in Alaska, and we set the goal to raise about $15,000, and we were right over 10,000 of that. And so the Lord is really blessed there. You know, that's really uncommon to be able to just seven churches coming together and raising that much money. And we're truly just amazed and grateful. And you know, Lord, I believe, you know, He waits for you to step out in faith and to do something, and then he opens the flood doors and just shows you how He's going to supply. And there's just been many things like that along the way. And so we do ask that you pray for us. We do have a prayer card that we kind of threw together. We had to get something together, and we hope that you can grab one of these outside there on the other side of the windows. Please keep us in your prayers, in your mind, as we leave this January 4th. Is when we'll be leaving for Unicleet. And just pray that we can, I've said it before, you know, I don't want to just fill in for someone. I really want to make a difference while we're there. You know, we could just go and fill in the gap. Yes, that's needful. But there's, I believe, so much more that we can do. And so pray with us about that. We thank you for the opportunity, Pastor, to share and to be sent out of this church. I truly am thankful for that. And appreciate my family. I couldn't do what I'm going to do without my family. And I just thank the Lord for the family He's given me. All right, I'd like to take you this evening to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I know it is approaching Christmas time. I am going to preach somewhat of a missions message, but I do believe that we wouldn't have missions if it wasn't for the manger. So I believe missions begins at Christmas, and we truly, you know, God sending His Son has given us the ability to even go and to take a message. We wouldn't have a message to take if it wasn't for Christ's coming. And so tonight, in Acts chapter 17, I'd like to start there. I'm going to try to tie two areas here together, starting in Acts 17, then we'll be going to one other passage, at least tonight. I know we got other things going on, so I'll try not to be too long tonight. But Acts chapter 17, verse 16, Paul here has been going from city to city, and he now finds himself in Athens. And Paul, really, he came to Athens because he was literally running for his life, and he ends up here, and he's now waiting for Silas and Timothy to come to him. And it says in verse 16, Acts 17, 16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens," speaking of Silas and Timothy, "he says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight and to open your word. I do thank you, Lord, that you've given us all opportunities in our lives to serve you. Lord, we're truly unworthy of any honor in that way, Lord. We thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help me tonight to speak it, Lord, as you'd have me to speak. I pray that you'd help me to transfer this message that you've given to me to your people tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I read this passage many times, I saw how it says Paul's spirit was stirred when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And I began thinking about that word, and I looked that word up. And that word means to be moved, to put to action, or agitated. To be moved, put to action, agitated. So literally, Paul is being moved to action when he saw the city given to idolatry. And I began to think, you know, how can I have my heart stirred for missions, for what God has placed before me? How can your heart be stirred? Because without having a stirring of our hearts, many times we're not going to be putting ourselves to action. You know, we do things because we're stirred to do them. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a skier and you... You're going to have a stirring of your heart to do that. You're not just going to go out there someday and start doing it. You're going to have the desire, the stirring of your heart to do that. But it's a moving, it's a putting in action of what your heart's desiring. And I believe Paul here understood what this idolatry did to the heart of God. I believe Paul had the mind of Christ, and he saw, when he saw the idolatry, I believe he saw what this did to God, and thus his spirit was stirred to action. But how can we have our spirit stirred tonight? I don't look at this just shortly. How can you and me have our hearts stirred towards missions? And the title of this message is "Stir Our Hearts, Lord. Stir Our Hearts." Look with me to John chapter 4. I said I was going to try to tie this in here. John chapter 4. I believe there's some steps here we can take, or that we need to take, or sometimes keep us from having our hearts stirred. John chapter 4 is the account of Jesus going into Samaria, and he's meeting with the woman there at the well. And I believe we're all fairly familiar with the story of the woman that came to the well. The disciples had gone into the city to buy meat, and Jesus, knowing the woman was coming, no doubt, stayed there at the well and waited. And many times here, several times, you know, it actually says in verse 6 that he being wearied, talking of Christ. You know, Christ was weary. He was at the well. He was no doubt hungry. They had just journeyed a long ways. And, of course, the disciples had gone to get meat. They were hungry themselves. And really what I want to focus on here is Christ's response when the disciples return. And of course that's in verse 35 here. John 4:35. This is after the disciples came back. Jesus had said, you know, "I have meat here that you know not of," speaking of what he'd been conversing with the woman about. The woman had come to him, and Christ had said, "Draw some water up so I can drink." And of course, that led into the conversation of the living water. And so Christ goes from there, but really what I was focused on here is what Jesus says to his disciples when they return and find him with this woman after he had been speaking with them. In verse 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." Notice that's a question. He's saying, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." He's asking a question. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." For they are white already to harvest. I believe there's two things here we can see in this verse, in verse 35, that shows us two steps that we can take to having our hearts stirred in this manner, in this area of missions. I think before we can accurately look at the fields right, we need to lift up our eyes first. Notice he says, "Lift up your eyes and look." Now, there's two steps there, I believe. What he's saying is we need to lift up our eyes off some things before we can look. I wrote these things down, just thinking of myself, and what things may I need to lift up my eyes from so I can see? Many times ourselves get in the way of looking at the fields and having a burden and a heart for the mission. Ourselves. Sometimes we get prideful, we get selfish, we get things in our lives that keep us from looking with compassion on others. Even Christ here, he was thirsty, he was hungry, he was sitting at a well, and this woman came, and he still took time. He put aside his own physical desires, his hunger, his thirst, and he took time to talk with this woman. You know, how many times do we put our own desires before those opportunities that Christ puts before us, that God sets before us? Sometimes we need to lift up our eyes off our own circumstances. Circumstances, what things we find ourselves in that will make ourselves look at ourselves and just forget about those around us. Our own circumstances. Many times we can find ourselves in circumstances that are very hard. Back there in Acts 17, Paul was running for his life. He found himself at Athens. And if somebody had a reason to really get stuck in his circumstance and get discouraged, maybe Paul would have had that opportunity because he was running for his life. But he still lifted up his eyes and he looked, and his heart was stirred for the city when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I really believe sometimes we just get so focused on our own circumstances, our own problems, and we forget about those around us and what they're going through. Lift up your eyes off of your own ambitions. You know, our own plans, our own desires. You know, we all have our own desires, our own dreams maybe, of what we would like to do. And those are fine. You know, we need to have a direction in our life, maybe a career. But don't let that career override God's desire for your life. You know, so many people put themselves in a place that God could never use them because of the place they put themselves. And there's a concern with that. But as long as you don't lose focus of what the Lord wants you to do, where you're at in the position He's given you, don't forget it's the Lord that has lifted you up to that position for you to share Him before others. You know, young people, I think you really need to focus on this. When you're searching a job out or you're searching a career, remember that it's God that puts you in those positions. He's one that gives you favor before man. I almost preached a message. I'm really been studying about the life of Hezekiah and how he, at the end of his life, we see Hezekiah, he prayed, he was sick, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord granted him 15 more years to his life. You know, amazing story there. And but in that following 15 years, he let his heart get lifted up with pride, it says. And he, when the messenger princes from Babylon came, he opened his doors and showed them all his riches. And the point of that story was that Hezekiah forgot who had given him all those things, and he'd forgotten who had given him the time. Hezekiah was on borrowed time, and he was lifting himself up. And he shouldn't have been alive. He shouldn't have even been there. But he was lifting himself up. We need to be careful our own ambitions don't get in our way. But I think first we need to lift up our eyes there in verse 35. And then we can look on the fields. You know, our eyes affect our heart, the Bible says. Our eyes affect our heart. Every time I've traveled to any of the villages I go to, you know, the Lord stirs my heart, because when you see something and you see it through God's eyes, you will be stirred, and you will be stirred to compassion. And you don't have to go out of this city, really. You go down the street and you just lift up your eyes for a few moments. You will see the needs given. You know, Christmas time many times is when people, for a short time, actually look around and try to be nice, try to be helpful. But really, that should be a year-round thing for us. We should be constantly looking around and seeing those around us and the needs that are there. And that's what the church is all about. But how should we look when we look on the fields? After we lift up our eyes off ourselves, we can look on the fields, and we need to look with compassion. Look with me in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I do promise it won't be long tonight. We need to take Christ's example and look with compassion when we look. You know, it's not enough that we just look. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? And, you know, you had the Levite, the priest, that came by, and, you know, they even walked over and they looked at the man that was beaten on the side of the road, and then what did they do? They just walked on. You know, you can look at something, but if you don't look with compassion like the Good Samaritan did, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not going to do anything about it if you don't look with compassion. In Matthew chapter 9 here, verse 38, let's start in verse 36. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes," he's talking to Jesus, "he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." It says that he was moved with compassion on them. You know, we need to have this same spirit, this same attitude Christ had. When we look at the fields, we need to have compassion. We need to have compassion. Those that have compassion are the ones that make a difference. And that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference, not just fill a position. Look with compassion. You know, this world doesn't have what we have in Christ. You think of the multitudes out there that are wandering in their own sin, and they have to look out for themselves. You know, they don't have what we have in Christ. They don't have the joy. They don't have the peace that we have in Christ. They need to hear the truth. They need a shepherd. He says here, he had compassion on because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When sheep are left to themselves, they just are scattered. Sheep need a shepherd. And the Bible always likens us to sheep. But we need to have compassion on those. And that's what missions is all about. So we need to lift up our eyes. We need to look on the fields. And lastly, we need to pray for the harvest. We need to pray for the harvest. Again here, let's read on in Matthew chapter 9 here. Verse 37 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to pray for the harvest. You know, we all can have a place in missions. I believe God has made it to where everyone can have a place in this thing called missions. I wrote this down. I thought, you know, some can go, most can give, but all can pray. We can all have a place in missions. It doesn't matter where we're at in our lives. We can all do something for this cause of missions. Missions is the heartbeat of God. I believe it's not a great thing when a church gets involved in missions. I do believe it's a shameful thing when a church doesn't. We are to be about the Father's business. We are to be about the Father's business. And this church has always done that and has always been greatly involved in missions. And I truly believe that. But we need to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. You know, if you can't go yourself, not everyone can go. Not everyone can go. But most can give. We can all pray. We can all go. We can do something in this area of missions. To pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. Where are we at tonight? Are we lifting up our eyes off of ourselves? Again, I've found myself many times getting so caught up in maybe the busyness of my job, in you name it, you know, the busyness of life, and you soon forget. You forget how Christ had compassion when He looked out on the multitudes. And then looking on the harvest. How are you looking on the harvest? You know, one person can look at a group of people, and then another person can look at the same group and come to a different conclusion. Why is that? Because one person has compassion. You know, it's all in whose eyes you're looking through. Are you looking through the eyes of Christ? And then pray for the harvest. We can all have a place in missions. We can all have a place. We shouldn't rest until the gospel has been preached to every creature. Pastor.